Welcome to Shoot First, Ask Questions Later, where we research the response of our past and review their relevance for today. This is your host, Moshe Kurtz. Welcome, my friends, to another episode of Shoot First, Ask Questions Later. On today's episode, we are joined by you guys. Yes, the listeners. This is our special Letters to the Editor episode that's been referenced at the end of every single podcast. And we are, God willing, finally about to do it. So, first of all, I just want to, of course, thank our listeners. Thank all of you for all the time, dedication, and the fact that, you know, there's like-minded people who enjoy this podcast. I don't know if I've ever explained it, but the reason that I set out to do this podcast, other than the fact that I remember one of my colleagues once tongue-in-cheek said, you know, you can't be a modern Orthodox rabbi without your own podcast, it's that I realized that there were very few podcasts that did what I wanted to do, and I was always looking for something to listen to while I was doing the dishes, in addition to politics, in addition to being mevatel Torah, and I noticed that there was like this chakira, this dichotomy in different kinds of Jewish podcasts. On one extreme, you had a lot of podcasts that were about inspiration or about personalities, but there was very minimal amount of Torah content in them, and it definitely didn't feel like I was being Mekayim Talmud Torah. And then on the other extreme, there's a lot of lovely Torah podcasts, but if you think about it, many of them are actually, I guess like what we're doing now, are just monologues. They're YU Torah Shiurim that are essentially put onto Spotify, Apple, or wherever you are listening. And that's wonderful as well, but there were very few podcasts. I mean, there were a few good ones out there. Headlines, of course, was an inspiration for me, Desert Island Torah, which is having our podcast anchored in Talmud Torah. You don't feel like you're wasting your time. You feel like you've actually done something. You can make a Birchas a Torah if you haven't yet. And at the same time, there's that, I think what people enjoy, they tell me it's the Shaklavitaria, that we have an engagement, we have a conversation about it, all within the 30 to 40 minutes. So I'm so glad that there's actually people out there. I see on the analytics, I see your messages that we're going to read, and it's amazing that we could connect in this capacity. So first, I want to also talk about how I'm grateful for the diversity of guests that we've had on here. We've had Roshi Yeshiva, we've had pulpit rabbis, academics, those who are able to represent and present Hasidish Halacha, Sephardic Minhagim and Halacha. And what I really try to showcase is a diversity of content and ideas. That's what's very important to me. And God willing, we'll do some wackier things that really push the genre of Shalos and Tshuvos, hopefully in the coming months. And of course, to our esteemed listeners, I can see, at least on the Spotify analytics, YU Torah doesn't exactly give it to me, but I assume there's people there as well. We have people ranging apparently from ages 18 to 60 plus. We have listeners hailing from the U.S., Israel, UK, Canada, Australia, Brazil, Mexico, Switzerland, Germany, Singapore, Belgium, Philippines, India, Ukraine, and many more places that I couldn't even pronounce. So shout out to all of you who are scattered throughout the world, the Arba Kanfos Haaretz who are listening. Okay. Now, before we get to the letters, the editor is actually one more thing. I did put out a cute little trivia question for those who follow on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and WhatsApp also, but I don't think I put it out on there. And you may have noticed that episode 36 had the title, Have You Ever Seen the Rain? Now, that was the episode about the Saint Talmud Matar and prayers for rain. So I put out on social media and I said, if anybody can guess the reference over here, then please comment and you'll get a shout out on the next episode. So guess what? We have that list of people who were able to figure out the reference that was made. And here are their names. By the way, the answer actually before their names was that it was a song from Creedence Clearwater Revival, right? Okay, am I going to sing it over here? All right, if you guys are listening this much, you deserve it. I apologize. We can edit this out, right? Have you ever seen the rain? Okay, so you should look it up if you haven't heard it yet. But those who got the reference and commented, I hope I have the comprehensive list. Rabbi Daniel Sayani, Mr. Nehemiah Krauss, Rabbi Josh Uter, Rabbi Pesach Somer, Mr. Ben Rothke, Rabbi Dan Margulies, Ben Sion L, and D. Baron Holtz, both from Twitter. I don't know if those are their actual names. And our actual guest for that episode, Rabbi Eli Fisher, he made a counter suggestion that we should name that episode Blessing the Rains Down in Africa, which, you know, is a little bit more on the nose. I thought maybe Blessing the Rains Down in South America, because apparently that's where more of the Shiloh and Shuvos came from in that respect for the Southern Hemisphere. But anyway, shkak to all of you who are able to get the reference, and we got the Blessing Rains Down in Africa reference. We'll have to apparently give you a shout out on the next one. Okay, that's enough. That's enough of me. Let's get to you guys and talk about our letters to the editor. We're going to go in chronological order, going all the way back to some of the first episodes of the podcast. So let's start with Leif Padelko. Leif Padelko sent in a letter about the episode on Thanksgiving, Rav Moshe Feinstein's approach to Thanksgiving, which our guest was Dr. Yisrael Ben Porat. I quote as follows. Hi, Rabbi. Very interesting Thanksgiving episode. I wanted to follow up on your mentions of New Year's as a religious institution, even with all the secularization and commercialization. In the Soviet Union in the 30s and 40s, New Year's was reintroduced as a fully secular holiday, was not even a day off following the revolution for a while, and even now the Russian Orthodox Christmas or Xmas in January 7th, so the circumcision argument does not apply. Would that be an acceptable holiday to celebrate, given the leniencies discussed? An interesting view that I heard from a rabbi in Houston is that it even makes it worse, since it bakes in anti-religion position as a default. Another question is, what really constitutes a Thanksgiving celebration in this context? Is it about the turkey? Is it about the day where we draw the line between a regular, more fancy meal and a Thanksgiving celebration? Thank you, Leif. Ad kan lashono. So, Leif brings up some very excellent points. I think one interesting thing is Leif is has, you know, Russian or Belarusian. Leif, when you're listening, you have to correct me. Heritage. So I like that he was able to actually bring in what the Russian Orthodox Church does, because probably in America we're more familiar with Protestantism, Catholicism, and so what do we do with their dates? And then vis-a-vis Thanksgiving, the question is, Rav Moshe Feinstein was of the opinion that it shouldn't be a religious holiday. You treat it like a religious obligation to have Thanksgiving meal, then that's a problem. That's ubuchuko sem lo selechu. But the question is, what makes it religious? Is it the turkey? Is it that you're makbid on the precise date? What if you're okay with a nidcha? So these are excellent points that Leif is raising. And it raises questions about Halloween and other non-Jewish days on the calendar as well. So thank you very much, Leif Padelko, for your submission. Now, moving on to the next letter to the editor. This one is being shared. I need to stress, I did get permission to share this anonymously. And this was a very, I found very poignant and also kind of inspiring letter that was shared with me. I removed identifying information. And this is a response to the single men wearing talisim episode in which we featured from Rabbi Noah Marlow Shlita, the Orthodox rabbi of Harvard Hillel. And here we go. Dear Rabbi Kurtz, I am blanked out, old, not married. I dislike being called a bacher, or worse, an alter bacher. Not sure if I'll ever get married for personal reasons, even though I try to keep the hope that Hashem can do anything. It's a painful topic, which is to say, I truly, deeply appreciate your podcast exploring single men wearing a talis. It resonated on a personal level as one who started wearing a talis a few years ago. The ending slash conclusion was of tremendous solace to me, that there is a great basis and precedent for an unmarried man to start wearing a talis. It really felt like Hashem Yisparach was validating me. It felt so nice and comforting. The thought that I go my whole life not wearing a talis until the Chevra Kadisha put one around my body in a coffin was too painful for me. Now I see I do truly have what to rely on. Your guest quoted an amazing Mishnah Berurah of the Chafetz Chaim himself, expressing wonderment and skepticism of the minhag to wait till marriage to wear a talis. Thank you again for this episode. It's the first one that I've listened of yours, and I look forward to listening to the future and past episodes. Wishing you continued bracha v'atzlacha in all your holy work. Ad kan l'shono. Now, the credit has to go to Rabbi Noah Marlow. We just provide the platform for people like him to come on and share these amazing analyses and messages. And I should say, I really, this is really an intellectual endeavor for me, this podcast. But every now and then, if someone reaches out and says that it made such a, you know, a big difference in their life and was able to give them solace and comfort, then, you know, I think it was worth the podcast, the entire podcast, just for this one anonymous individual. All right. Now, moving forward, longtime listener, Mr. Ben Rothke, sent a response for episode number 30. And I have to also thank him as well. He, several of our guests that have been on the show have actually been by his connection or suggestion. So huge shout out and thank you for your dedication to the podcast. And here is the letter to the editor. Quote, "Hi, Rabbi Kurtz. I enjoyed episode number 30 with Rabbi Yaakov Wolf, which discussed whether one may learn medicine on Shabbos. One of the topics he discussed was watching an autopsy for medical students. It reminded me of a similar issue when there was a traveling exhibit in New York called, quote, Bodies, some years ago. Bodies is an exhibition that shows human bodies that have been preserved and dissected to display the various bodily systems. The exhibit raised several criticisms and ethical concerns. One was from Harav J. David Bleich, who felt that people should not go to the exhibit except those who truly needed to understand anatomy, such as medical professionals. He felt that people should not go to the exhibit due to issues around kavod habrios, human dignity, as it was a desecration of the dead. Signed, Ben." So this is just one of many excellent ha'aros that Mr. Rothke has shared with me. And this is the one that I got in print. But certainly everyone is encouraged to follow his work. He does excellent book reviews for the Jewish Link and in other forums. So make sure to check him out. Okay, now getting to very recent now. In fact, this is the previous episode. An anonymous ha'ara on the episode number 39 about dancing on Shabbos, in which Rabbi Dr. Tzvi Leshem analyzed the Minchas Elazar's tshuva in that regard. The Minchas Elazar took a lenient position, permitting dancing and clapping, and maybe even encouraging it for Yechidei Skula on Shabbos. So here is the brief ha'ara that was submitted anonymously. Quote, "Very interesting episode about the Minchas Elazar tshuva on dancing during davening. Enjoyed the episode very much. I am, however, curious. I have been in multiple Bati Knessios on Friday night where the rabbi will insist on a Friday night dance, and not even half of the majority want this dance to take place, and he schleps people into the dance to bring in Shabbos. Would, in this case, the post-Lichadodi dance be considered a tircha?" So Mr. Anonymous Shlita raises an excellent point over here that while our entire discussion in the Dancing on Shabbos episode revolved around the inherent rabbinical prohibition against dancing and clapping, there are other concerns and elements that should be raised, which is in a congregation, for instance, in a shul, where the majority of people are not really interested in dancing, especially on a later Friday night, right? They want to be from, they want to keep the letter of the law of what it says in the Mishnah and Beitzah, and they want to be faithful to Chazal. And then we start a whole dance party, which is questionable halakhically. In addition, there's an element perhaps of tircha de tzibura imposing upon the dignity and also the time of the tzibur if that's something that they do not want. Now, if you are, of course, if you are persuaded by the Minchas Elazar's argument, the rabbi in this scenario probably is trying to bring his kahila to the madrega that they can appreciate such a joyful Kabbalah Shabbos. But in kamakum lahar, we'll leave it at that. One more letter, actually. We have one more letter. And this is sent in by Mr. Mordechai Mark Pomerantz. And the letter reads as follows. "Rabbi Kurtz, I just want to let you know how much I'm enjoying your online interviews and discussions that I heard first on YU Torah and now on Spotify. Your podcasts are terrific on many levels. As one who listens to many shiurim on the YU website, it is fascinating for me to learn the background of the various rabbis you interview, which fleshes out the person one is learning from. And the give and take on the shaylot is a terrific educational experience for me, who has no real yeshiva background. Again, thanks so much for posting these interviews, which I find highly valuable and most enjoyable as well. Signed, Mordechai Mark Pomerantz. So first of all, thank you, Mr. Pomerantz, and thank you to many of our listeners. You know, it's very, you know, I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I thank all of you. It's very flattering, and it's fulfilling to know that I see the analytics, but I don't always know who's listening on the other end. Now, there's people who are either my friends or colleagues or congregants who are in touch with me, but to just know that someone who I'm not sure, you know, I don't know who they are, they happen to find it on the internet somewhere, and now they're listening to it and they're benefiting from it. It's definitely an encouragement for me to continue this project. And so with that, we come to our concluding segment of this episode. I would imagine if you've been listening for this long up until now, you are probably a dedicated listener to this podcast. And so I'm going to address a point that people have reached out to me and asked about. People have asked me how they could support the podcast. I think two instances recently from separate parties reached out and said, you know, can we sponsor an episode, the Ulei Nishmas, a relative in honor of a special event. And like I've done it, but I try not to put money into the podcast, and I don't take money for the podcast. It's not monetized. This is just a fun project that I do. Get to share more Torah. I get to meet really interesting educators and scholars. I get to connect with all of you guys. But people have asked me about how they could sponsor, and I think I came up with the right approach, which is I'll link this in the show notes. I made a Svarim registry on the Eichler's website, and I put different Shiles of Tshuva Svarim that I don't yet have. And if you want to support the podcast or you want to sponsor an episode, I think this is a good way of going about it. It's not considered me making money, I think. It's just really, I put deliberately Shiles of Tshuva Svarim. That way, any Svarim that are given as a gift are really actually going back into the podcast, I would think, because then I have more access to these Svarim, I can learn from them more, and hopefully it gives me more content, and I'm more well-prepared to prepare this content that everyone benefits from, but zero pressure at all whatsoever, only because people have actually proactively reached out to me. I needed to think of some kind of system, and I thought this may be the best approach in which the dollars and cents go essentially back into the podcast and helping you have a more beneficial and edifying experience. And I guess once we're on this topic, I try hard. I'm not so good at it. I'm a bit of a Balgaiva. You know, you need to be a bit of a Balgaiva if you're going to have your own podcast. But I try not to do too many shameless self-promotions throughout the podcast. So I'm going to do it over here, and I'll put links in the show notes, and, you know, hopefully this will be the one time I do it until the next time we do an episode like this. So you may also have noticed, if you haven't, I love Shiles and Shuvos. I think that's pretty obvious. I right now am currently writing an Igros Moshe series with Tradition Online, being edited by Rabbi Jeffrey Sachs, who's the head editor of Tradition. And every other week, God willing, the plan is to come out with a brief article which analyzes and compares and contrasts Tshuvos of Rav Moshe Feinstein. If you like this podcast because you're into Shiles and Tshuvos, you might like this for your Shabbos reading, perhaps. So I'll link that in the show notes. I guess while we're on the topic of shameless self-promotions and shameless plugs, you probably, if you know who I am personally, you're probably more than aware and like, stop talking about this, but maybe you're not. During the summer, Baruch Hashem, I put out a book called Challenging Assumptions, contemporary halachic issues, whether about political correctness through Nas Tvarim, whether it be about like, you know, cross-dressing a little Yilvash, or more typical topics like, can you schedule a seam deliberately during the 9 days so you can eat meat? So I'll link that in the show notes as well. And You know, I'm generally here in Stanford. I don't do a lot of traveling, but I do make time for limited speaking engagements. So if you would like to bring me to your community, to your shul, I am more than happy to figure out how to make that work vis-a-vis my schedule, vis-a-vis family, and always really just looking for more ways to share Torah, to spread Torah, and to connect with all of you guys who apparently, if you're still listening, means you actually, you think there's something to it. So you can email me either at rabbikurtz@cs-stanford.org or mitchellmkurtz@gmail.com. Any of you might even have my contact information already. And again, just, you know, I want to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, and I want to thank all of you guys for making this podcast a part of your learning schedule. So wishing everyone, this is being recorded before Pesach, a Chag Kosher v'Sameach, and God willing, we'll catch you next time on Shoot First, Ask Questions Later.